And welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Holly. This episode will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Sheffield Wednesday at Craven Cottage on Saturday. On top of that, we'll have another edition of the Cottage Talk Roundtable, which will include some predictions for us in the second half of the season. Last, but certainly not least, I'll play the interview of new head coach Slavica Jokanović, which is on the full website. Before we get going, I have to welcome my Cottage Talk co-host back to the show. David, how you doing?
Hello again. Hello, everyone. Nice to be back again. And this is going to be a difficult show, I think. We've got a lot of predictions to make here, which are going to be very difficult.
It could be, David. It could be very interesting. We're going to do that in a little bit. I look forward to doing that. Before we go any further, I want to wish everyone a very happy New Year. It's been a rough year for fans of Fulham Football Club, but I want to wish everyone and their families a very happy New Year. And let's hope 2016 is better than 2015 has been. David, I want to wish that to you and your family, and also all of our co-hosts all over the world. I want to wish them a very happy New Year. Have any big plans for tonight?
No, we've just got a couple of people coming around. They're going to sit there. We'll have a few drinks, I think. Probably watch the stuff on the telly as it pans out, obviously. Still not up to going up too much for me. Late nights are difficult for me still, but getting better all the time. Massive improvement than from where we were. So, yeah, a quiet night, a few drinks, friends around, that sort of thing. See the New Year in. Few chocolates, get fatter.
Okay, that sounds good, my friend. That sounds good. One thing I want to mention before we get into the show is that we will be having a special guest next Friday for our preview show. Raphael Geller, who works for the BBC in Israel, will be joining us, so he can share his thoughts on Slavica Jokanović. You know, it'll be good to have him on after one match in charge. I want to get Raphael's thoughts on the whole process. We had Joshua on this week, but now we will have Raphael on next week, which would be good. Fans have asked me to get him on, so I've been able to get him on, David. And he's been great. He was great to follow during this whole process of Jokanović becoming the Fulham head coach. So we'll have him on next week.
That's great. I'll be very excited to speak to him if I'm on that show, obviously, or whoever's on the show. I'm sure they'll be very excited to speak to him as well.
Absolutely. I look forward to that. And I just confirmed that today, so just want to mention, because fans have been asking me to get him on. So we will get him on next week, next Friday to be exact. All right, David, before we get into going into the Cottage Talk Roundtable, we do have some speculation to discuss. And I knew this was going to happen because the transfer window opens obviously very soon. So the speculation is going to begin. So let's start with this story from our friend Lyle Thomas from Sky Sports. He wrote this earlier. Again, here's the title: Tottenham and Everton interest in Moussa Dembele, according to Sky Sources. I'm going to read the article to you and then get your thoughts. Again, this is from Lyle Thomas from Sky Sports. Everton and Tottenham are among a number of Premier League clubs who have expressed an interest in Fulham youngster Moussa Dembele, according to Sky Sources. But the Championship side are determined to keep the 19-year-old until the end of the season when his contract expires. Fulham would be due compensation in the summer from whoever Dembele decides to join, agreed either privately or via tribunal, because of the forward's homegrown player status. The West London club are also under a transfer embargo in January, but it is understood they do not feel they are in a position where they have to sell the Frenchman next month. Dembele has been offered a new four-year deal to stay at Craven Cottage, but although he is keen to remain at the club for the rest of the campaign and help them push up the table under new head coach Slavica Jokanović, he's unlikely to sign new terms on offer. Okay, that is the article, David, from Lyle. What are your thoughts about this speculation in regards to the Fulham striker?
Well, it's nothing new, is it? We've had this before. People have been sniffing around him literally even before he broke into the first team. You know, he was doing wonderful things in the under-18s, and there was people interested in him at that point. And obviously with the fact that he's in the final year of his contract, the speculation has been mounting and mounting. And it's just, you know, I think that the slap in the face would be Spurs, really, because they've stolen one Moussa Dembele from us already. We don't, you know, to lose one is, you know, it's unfortunate, isn't it, to lose two with something else, I think Oscar Wilde once said, or someone like that anyway. So to lose two Moussa Dembele to the same team would be, I think, very careless. So, and we know, you know, we've seen it a lot, actually, with Spurs, and this is not anything against Spurs particularly, but
right.
they seem to have a bit of a track record of taking some of our great players and then not doing much with them. You know, Dembele's been in and out. Dempsey didn't really establish himself fully there, did he? Sean Davis, of course, went there many years ago, and from being a sort of, you know, a regular at Fulham, a bit part player there, and I think there's others as well. So I think in the short term, it would be a bad move for Dembele, because I can't see him displacing people like Harry Kane and who else they have there. In the long term, of course, perhaps, you know, a bigger club would be great for him. But that's the same for other people like Heinemann as well. You know, Heinemann,
that's
suddenly,
right.
you know, he's broke into the team again after really, I think we'd all written him off on the basis that, you know, he said he doesn't want to stay, and therefore we thought he's not committed, and therefore other people who are, you know, equally as good or better should get a chance. But for some reason, he's got back into the team, played very well. And for him, you know, will he get that if he goes to a bigger club? I don't know. Will Dembele get that if he goes to a bigger club? Does he want to be at a bigger club, or does he want to have game time? And this is the thing. So for Fulham, obviously, it's you know, in our interest to keep him. You know, there is the compensation issue, but I don't think the compensation would be substantial. From Mike Gregg is the expert on these things, so I'm afraid he's not on today to sort of tell me otherwise. But
sure.
I assume the compensation is reasonable. It's not a pittance, but it's not the same as if we had him on a long-term contract. And he was poached. But we're going to get these things, and I don't think we're under any obligation to sell him. Obviously, we get money either way, so I suppose there's less there's less obligation to sell him in January than if, you know, like the situation where he could walk away for free in the summer with a senior player, you know, like we had with Brian Ruiz at that point. And that's why, of course, they signed Brian Ruiz they extended his contract so they could get money for him. So for Dembele, I don't know. I think hopefully he will stay on the basis that Fulham can, you know, will get something for him anyway, and perhaps they can buy themselves some time, you know, which maybe will persuade him to sign another contract. I think, you know, under a new manager, if suddenly things turn the corner and you know things start happening and it becomes exciting and the prospect of getting to the Premier League next year is a real one. I'm going to say next year. I don't mean. Obviously, next season, I mean, you know, that to get to the Premier League next season would be a miracle, I think. But to get to the, you know, to challenge for the Premier League next season, you know, maybe there's just a chance they can persuade him to stay. So, you know, let's see what happens. But I'm hoping that he will stay. Or he signs a contract anyway, and then at least we can get a better fee for him if he does go.
Sure. Sure. You know, David, it's an interesting situation, but this is just my opinion. My opinion is that again, Fulham should not sell him unless they had a situation where Dembele would be loaned back to the club for the rest of the season. I hope that he actually does sign a new deal, but again, I think it's difficult. He holds all the cards right now. But if I'm Fulham, you know, again, unless I get this extraordinary offer, I hold on to him. You know, that's what I would do, and I hope that's what they do. And, you know, again, they don't have to sell him. They're going to get money one way or another. Would they get more if they sold him now? There's possibly, but again, we'll have to see how this all plays out. I mean, you just brought up a very good point, and that's going to go with me talking to you in a little bit about Emerson Heinemann, because, again, there's an article on the Fulham website. I want to share some quotes with you and get your thoughts on that, because the new man is now in charge. Maybe, again, he likes playing for Fulham under the new man. Maybe we have a good second half this season. So let's see how this whole thing plays out. I hope Fulham stay firm on this. Do not sell him, like I said, unless the circumstances are, one, that they get an extraordinary fee, or two, that they get the ability to have him to the end of the season back on loan. Those would be the only ways I would consider it, and I hope he stays there, because, again, like you said, if he keeps playing, he enjoys playing under Jokanovic, who knows, he might sign that new deal, he might stay. So I say I would, you know, if I was in charge of the club, I would stay for him and not sell him, and I hope he stays. on top of that, because you did mention another player that, again, his contract will end at the end of the year, and that's Emerson Hyman. And, again, I found it interesting that there was an article about him on the Fulham website today, because he's just started playing. You yourself said he played fairly well in the last match. He's been playing fairly well. So what I want to do is I want to share some quotes from that article and get your thoughts on it, because I think it does go a little bit with the situation with Dembele. Again, there's no speculation right now on Hyman, but there could be as the January transfer window opens. Again, I'm going to share these quotes with you. Again, this is from the article said, Hyman, great feeling. This is directly from Emerson Hyman. Quote, this is about Jokanović. He came in and said he would only be 45 seconds long, Hyman revealed. He said, good luck to all of us, and he wanted to see commitment and aggressiveness in the game. I think we did that from the first minute we pegged them back with Colley's goal. We conceded the set piece, but despite this, we were in complete control. Then he goes on a little bit later and says, talking about the match coming up, we respect Sheffield Wednesday, but it's all about us, really, he stated. We have the quality to beat any team in the championship. I think we can harness the feelings from the win the other night and kick on. Now, those are comments from Emerson Hyman. You know, again, he's not talking about his future, but it just shows that for me, once a player starts playing, David, maybe, you know, again, maybe I'm reading too much in between the lines, but it sounds like he's talking a lot about the team here.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen or heard anything directly from Hyman saying I'm leaving, but it seems to be widely accepted that he has made comments that he wants to leave. But you know, who knows? You know, the whole situation could be turned on its head now. If you know, if he finds he's suddenly getting game time, perhaps
yep.
he might. You know, the penny might click. His thing. Hold on a minute. Maybe I'm better off staying here and getting, you know, a regular game time as opposed to going God knows where and you know, not know. I mean, who would really would you imagine would take a chance on Hyman to keep him first team football? As good as he potentially could be, I don't think any Premier League side would they at the moment? Not to buy him to put him straight into the team. He'd have to serve, you know, a long apprenticeship again on the sidelines. Really, I think he'd have to fight his way into the first team squad. It's not you know, a guaranteed place. As you know, I said to you the other week when we were sort of debating about how good we really are, how many of our players would really be able to walk out of Fulham and get a regular place in a higher club? Not many, really, to be honest with you. Not many. Maybe Dembele, maybe McCormack,
right.
Things like that. You know, but I don't think Hyman has played enough or has established himself enough to have that reputation where he could walk out of Fulham and get guaranteed first-team football elsewhere. Certainly not at you know, a higher level in the Championship or in the Premiership, you know. Maybe abroad, I don't know, but I'm not sure how he feels about moving abroad. So I think, you know, all the balls could still be in the air, really, here. And, you know, perhaps there is the potential to salvage what seemed to be an unsalvageable situation. So, yeah, I mean, I think the new manager could make a massive difference.
And I agree with that, David. That's why, again, in his situation, the same thing. Play it out. You know, again, I wouldn't sell Emerson Hyman. I would see how this all plays out with him. Again, maybe he enjoys playing under Jokanović. This summer, David, there was some speculation with him linked to clubs in Germany. So again, it would be abroad. But again, it, you know, we'll have to see how this all plays out. But my hope, again, the more that he plays, the more hopefully he would want to stay. And, you know, that's why bringing in this new man now is so key, because it could really change the perception of everything. It could change the perception of us, the fans. It could change the perception of other teams. It could also change the perception of the players themselves. You know, players that might have thought, hey, I want to leave. Well, now this new man's in charge. He might have new ideas. Maybe they'll want to stay. So if I'm Fulham, I hold on to Emerson Hyman, see how this all plays out. And again, maybe under Jokanović, who knows, he might want to stay. So I don't think that they should feel like they have to sell him either. But again, it kind of goes a little bit with the Dembele situation. The difference that you just mentioned, David, is that I do believe that Dembele is further on in his progression. So you would have Premier League teams really coming in after him. I don't know if any Premier League teams would come in for Emerson Hyman at this point, but I do remember that there was interest abroad in Germany. So, that's why I was a little bit concerned this summer. But now that he's playing, who knows? Maybe he'll want to stay. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, David, now let's go to the fun part. Let's now go to the Cars Talk Roundtable. I've got several topics for us to discuss, and many of them involve predictions. So let's start here. Again, we are now a little over halfway through the season. Let's look at the championship. What are your predictions for the top six by the end of the season? Give me 1 through 6. Let's start with 6 and then go forward to 1.
Well, that's even worse. I thought you just wanted to give top six in any order. So you want them in order as well?
Oh, I want them in order, David. I've got them written down in order. I want your order.
Well, my gut feeling looking at the table without the order is that the current top six could actually end up being the final top six. From what I've seen from most of them, I think they've been pretty impressive. And obviously there is that very slight gap between sort of 6 and 7 as well, but it has actually closed slightly over the last few weeks because it looked like the top five were starting to run away as well, didn't it? But I really think the champions are going to be out of probably Middlesbrough or Derby. I really do. And we said that last year, of course, Derby, and look what happened.
That's right.
That was the real one. But I think between Middlesbrough and Derby for the champions, and probably between Hull and Brighton for third spot. And then it's a matter. I think Burnley and Ipswich can also do it. I do think, the top six could finish as they are now. Of course, there's always a prospect of a shock. Obviously, there's a team makes a late run and comes out of somewhere. And I looked and I thought, no, let's hope it's not Brentford. Then obviously we don't want to see that. Sheffield Wednesday. Well, if they're going to be that, we're going to put a stop to them tomorrow for starters. Saturday, I should say. But I'm gonna stick with the current top six literally to stay as they are.
Okay, very good. David, just to shake things up, and I remember Derby County last year, I've got a couple surprises. So I'm gonna start at 6 and I'm gonna give you Reading. Reading now has brought back a former manager, so I think they're gonna get a boost there. That one's a little bit of a reach from where they are right now, so I'm gonna say Reading. That's my little bit of a shocker. Number 5 I have is Birmingham because, again, I like that club. I like them under Rowett. I think they're difficult to beat. I think they could actually end up 5. 4 I have Burnley because I think Burnley's going to be in the mix but not good enough for 1 or 2. David, I hate to say number 3. Do you know who I'm going to say?
Hull City.
What team do I really hate?
Hull City.
Hull City I have as 3rd. I can't stand Hull City. They are number 3. I have as number 2 Middlesbrough. I think Middlesbrough are an impressive side. But as we've seen, we actually play them very, very well. So I'm going to have them as number 2. My number 1, I'm going to go with Derby County. I think Derby County have taken it to the next level this season. I think they're actually going to win it this year. I'm going to go with Derby County. So what are your thoughts of my top 6, David?
Oh, the Reading one is a bit of the men in the white coats job, really, isn't it? I think I'm surprised.
Yes.
With your optimism, if you're going to pick Reading there, you might as well pick Fulham because it's only 3 points difference there.
This is true.
I'm surprised you haven't said Fulham are going to get there. So I don't know about Reading. I really don't. I could see Birmingham doing it. I think I really could see them because they have been tough. But I can't see Ipswich really slipping up. They've been pretty consistent. Burnley have been pretty good. They're very hard to beat. They're good at home as well.
Yep.
Brighton have been there or thereabouts. So have Hull, so have Derby, so have Middlesbrough. So I just can't see anyone in the top 6 really slipping up. And I mean, Derby, they after last season, it would be criminal if they were to slip up again. But no, I just don't see it happening. I think it will finish more or less as it is now.
Okay. I see the team that could really slip is being Brighton. And nothing against Brighton. I think that they were, what we would say here, punching above their weight. I don't think that they were a team that was going to win the league, and I still don't think that they are. I think they played very well the first half of the season. I think if there's one team out of that top 6 that could fall out, do what Derby County did last year, I actually think it's Brighton and Hove Albion. That's just my thoughts on that. I don't think that, I remember watching them. You were at that match. I didn't see them as being any better than Fulham, and I think they played very well. And I think that shows how good of a manager that Chris Hughton is, because Chris Hughton, I think, has got that team playing very well. But there's one of the two teams I've seen slipping out would be Brighton, and then also Ipswich Town. But they could be close to the mix, but I do see them slipping up as well. And like I said, I was throwing one that was really what unlikely to happen, that's Reading, but I thought I would throw it in there, and we'll see what happens. All right, David, let's now go through the three teams that you think are going to get relegated. It'll be interesting to see if one of them are our team, but what are your three teams?
I wouldn't dare suggest that on this show. You'll never let me come on again if I did that. You know, I know there's people listening out there who'd love me to wind you up about it, because last time I mentioned it and you hit the roof and people were saying, oh, they loved it. I got so many DMs from people. But that's just cruel. I'm not, you know, here to tease you, and I have to hope to God that we aren't one of those three. And I think we have everything in our favour now. You know, we have a squad which is better than when our position is. Whether it's good enough to challenge at the top, I don't know. But we have a squad which is better than our position, I'm sure. And we have a manager who's got a great track record coming in, and a team of people who, you know, very studious and sit up in the middle of the night studying stuff. So, you know, I think from here out we should be moving up the table. So I'm not going to suggest that we are one of those three. I think from what I've seen, Charlton were pretty awful. Charlton were terribly awful, actually. I mean, we should have killed them. Even us playing poorly, we should have killed them, and it's criminal that we didn't. So Charlton are one of my three. I think Bolton, despite their win the other day, I think Bolton are going to be on the way out, because they also face, as you probably know, they face the possibility of going into administration, which means they'd get a points deduction anyway. So even if they were to have enough points, they could lose the points again. So I think Bolton and Charlton definitely, from what I've seen now. The hard one is the third team to join them, really. I just think that maybe Milton Keynes Dons will slip away a little bit.
Interesting.
I wasn't too impressed with them when I saw them. And also, the atmosphere at their stadium was very hollow when we went there that day. It was really... Cause it's quite a good stadium, and it's quite big and everything, but it was very empty, and you know, there wasn't much atmosphere there. And I could see places like Rotherham and Bristol City getting more of a, you know, atmosphere behind the team and a fight there if they need to. And I saw enough of Rotherham the other night to show that they could cause problems. I don't think, you know, obviously they're not a great team. Table doesn't lie. We put four past them in the end. But for a while they played some good football, and, you know, they're putting us under pressure. So I think Rotherham can get it out of it. And I think Bristol City, they've got such a fervent support down there in Bristol. If they get the fans, a couple of results and the fans behind them, I think they can claw their way out. So Milton Keynes for me is going to be the third one, with Bolton and Charlton.
Okay, very good. So you're going to Milton Keynes. Okay, very good, David. I am going to go with, obviously, Bolton. I think Bolton are going to go down. Charlton, very good by you. I'm going to go with the three currently there, but I see why you are going with MK Dons. I'm going to go with Bristol City as well. I agree with you. I don't think Rotherham United are going to get relegated. I think they have enough with that squad to stay up. And actually, you know, again, I have nothing against Rotherham. So again, I honestly don't think they're going to get relegated. I think the three that are currently there will get relegated. All right, David, let's transition over to Fulham. You ready? Where will Fulham end up by the end of the season?
This is hard. My gut feeling, and this is, you know, this will upset everyone, I guess, is somewhere around 14, I think, really.
Okay.
So I think we will, you know, I think we will improve a little bit, but not that much. I'd love to say it'd be higher, but I was going to say 13, but I'm being superstitious, so I'm going to say 14, really. And that's because I don't think, you know, Djukanovic is going to cure everything overnight. It didn't happen for Roy. It didn't happen for others either. There's always a bit of time. We got the new manager bounce maybe the other night, but we've got some tough games coming up as well.
We do.
Some teams are on form. Let's hope he revolutionises it, because if we can go well beyond 14, then we can start getting into territory where we're going to be thinking, shit, if only we got a couple more points from that game and that game, we would have got to the playoffs.
Right.
Because it's all very tight, obviously, isn't it, there? You know, between 14 and 7 is only 6 points at the moment. Well, between 15 and 7 is only 6 points at the moment. And so, you know, the possibility to finish much higher is actually still there. But I think, frustratingly, if we finish much higher, it will still be just outside the playoffs, and therefore we'll be ruining these matches. Like the Charlton, for example, we've dropped 2 points clearly, you know, things like that. But for me, say, I'm going to be negative Nancy, I think, and say 14 or whatever you call. Is it negative Nancy you call me sometimes?
Negative Nancy, David.
And you're going to be
negative
positive
Nancy.
Patient,
no, listen,
yeah?
I understand why you're going with that. You know, you're looking at where they are, like you always say, David, the table doesn't lie. We are where we are right now, and we have dropped points against teams. I'm glad that you brought up Charlton, because that one was very discouraging. And there were matches even just recently that, again, Preston North End, MK Dons, where we're dropping points, and I don't think we should be dropping points, and that really hurt us. And if you look at all those, you know, again, you add up all those should have been, you know, we'd be much higher up the table. But this is where we are, and this is what we're dealing with. I do believe we are going to get that new manager/head coach bounce. I think it's going to continue. Is it going to continue to be looking towards the top 6? I think that's a tall ask. Even I'm not that crazy. That would be talking about the white coats, David. If I predicted that, that would be really white coat action. So I'm not going to go there. But I actually am a little bit more optimistic than you. I say under Jokanović, we will show improvement. We will go up the table, and we will end 10th. I'm going to go with 10th.
Well, I can see that as well. Yeah, I think anywhere in that range.
I don't think I'm being unreasonable to say 10th.
No, that would, you know, I could see us doing that ourselves as well. I think if things pick up quickly, 10th will be more than achievable.
Yeah. Okay. Very good, David. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about the player of the season so far. You know, I've gone back and forth with this one. I just, you know, again, want to get your thoughts. We're, like I said, we're just over halfway through the season. Who has been your player of the season so far?
If you asked me 3 weeks ago, I think it would have been, a one-horse race, really. We'd have been talking about, we've been talking about Jamie O'Hara. I would
have That's right.
What you say. Now, obviously, you know, O'Hara, he hasn't benefited maybe from, you know, he had a sort of an understanding there with Tunnicliffe. They work quite well together. And there's, you know, there's been, Parker's come back into the team. There's been changes around. O'Hara's found himself out a little bit, and he hasn't had the continuity that he did have. So I think he's still one of the best, because we can't forget, you know, the performances he's been putting in, week out for many weeks. But obviously up on the rails have come people like, you know, Ross McCormack's been picking up again. He seems to be a bit of a slow starter, Ross. You know, he was when he first signed for last season, really. Certainly the second half of his season was a lot better than his first half. But he has started coming good in you know, the recent weeks, and, you know, started to find the net regularly, and free kicks as well. So, arguably he was one of the men of the match on Tuesday. I think Woodrow just pipped him to it. But so I think it's, at the moment, it's really between Ross and O'Hara, I think.
Yep.
For me, I can't really think of anyone else who's been sort of consistent over many weeks. We've had, obviously, spells where people like Kearney have had a few good games, and, you know, we had, you know, James Husband had a few, you know, good games at a point, but he wasn't here the whole time. His defence have been up and down, obviously. There's been changes in personnel, changes in formation. Scott Parker hasn't been around very much. Tunnicliffe,
yep.
Again, I think, you know, Tunnicliffe was very steady, if not more than very steady, but he hasn't been around for a few weeks now. So I think, you know, I'm going to find it hard to split a hair between McCormack and O'Hara, really, at the moment, as to which one is the best. I'd still think maybe O'Hara. I think O'Hara had less bad games than McCormack. McCormack had some frustrating games still at times. So maybe I'd stick with O'Hara very just, but it would be very, you know, on the slightest of margins over McCormack.
Okay, very good. And David, honestly, I agree with you. And I'm glad that you analyzed it the way you did, because I was thinking about, well, who's had more subpar matches? And for me, slightly, it's been McCormack. McCormack hasn't had every match hasn't been his best match. And so I think, I definitely think Jamie O'Hara edges it. He has slipped off a little bit, but I think if you're looking over the course of half a season, I think it's O'Hara by a little bit. But Ross McCormack has really been coming on strong. I want to give him so much credit for what he's been doing lately. Listen, we've stayed in matches just because of him, you know, on some of his wonder goals, some of his free kicks. So, you have to give the guy serious credit. You know, again, I get frustrated by him at times, you know, that it comes back too deep. He tries to do too much. But overall, he definitely has been one of the two. But I'll give the slight edge to O'Hara, and I do want to give an honorable mention to Tunnicliffe. I was going to mention him, David, because if he did not get injured, I think he should be in the conversation, because I thought Tunnicliffe, like you mentioned, very steady, did his job. I like players that just do their job, and that was Ryan Tunnicliffe. You know, so, again, I just want to give him an honorable mention. All right, David, before we play the interview with Jokic Novich, I have one more topic for you, and this is more looking forward. And I was just thinking about something that we could talk about. Player that really hasn't shown himself that much yet, whether it be injury, whether it been opportunity. So I want to ask you, which player or players do you think could be a surprise impact in the second half of the season? So it could be one player or it could be multiple players.
I mean, it's all, you know, difficult now to predict really what's going to happen, because we don't know for sure what sort of system Djokanovic is going to employ. You know, he may stick with the status quo. He may go with his favourite 3-5-2. He may mix it up and down. We don't really know what to expect. So, you know, if you knew that, you'd probably get a clue as to the formation, who's more likely to be playing, who's not. If he plays a 3-5-2, certain players, and I, you know, I'm not picking them for any reason apart from just because of where they play, but people like maybe Pringle, Kakalicic would find themselves harder to get game time, because we don't play with naturally wide men if you play the 3-5-2, because the wing backs take up those roles, of course.
That's right.
If we're going to play a 4-4-2, then of course they come into it more. So it's difficult, because obviously we haven't seen George Williams this year. We thought that, you know, because he came on really well, his recovery was great from his injury, his serious injury. And he hasn't burst back into the squad yet, not really. I think he's been probably in the squad, but he hasn't. I don't think he's made the bench yet, if I can recall, for the first team.
He's played with the under-21 so far, David.
Yeah. And the other one, of course, is, you know, the enigma almost, because we've seen a little taster of what he can do, and he looked great, but then, you know, we missed out. And we're talking about Matilla. You know,
yes,
it was a bit
absolutely.
Of a low-budget signing, really, and we're not sure if he was just there to make up the numbers, but when we have seen him, he actually looked quite impressive, and we want to see more, you know. We've had a little taste of it, and we want more now, because we think, could he be the answer to this defensive midfield kind of giant that we've been missing since the days of Dixon Atuo, for example?
That's right.
You know, a real anchor there in front of the defence, who's going to mop up the loose balls, win balls in the air, win balls in the tackle, allow other players to more freedom to play. So, you know, for me, that's the real sort of one. You know, Matilla, it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, if he gets a chance under the new coach, or, you know, and if he does get a chance, how does it go? Otherwise, it really is kind of, you know, who's he going to pick? And I would imagine initially we're going to see more or less the status quo. I don't think he's going to suddenly just come in and say, right, all you lot who played last week, you're out, and I'm going to pick a different 11. I can't imagine him doing that, really, somehow.
Right.
So I think initially, although everyone's going to have a chance, maybe there may be people who thought they hadn't had a chance who will get a chance. But I think initially it's going to be more or less status quo. The Men in the White Coats Award would be, if I suggested, Sean Kavanagh will be the surprise for the second half of the season, really. That would,
okay.
That would really, I'd need taking away and locking up in a padded cell for that one, I think, because I don't see Sean Kavanagh breaking in. But there we go. If he does, I can come on the last show at the end of the season and say, Russ, I was wrong.
That's great, David. All right, listen, I have three names. You've named two of them. Sakari Mattila, I think, could make an impact. You know, again, we've only seen him briefly. You described him perfectly. I see him in that Dixon Atuhu role. If for whatever reason, say, Jokanovic decides he wants to play a 4-4-2, he's played several different formations, but like you mentioned, David, he has played a good amount in his past, the 3-5-2. So it would be interesting to see what kind of role Mattila would have. The other one that I mentioned to you offline, I definitely see George Williams having an impact if he plays a certain formation. I think George is a player that could really take off and have an impact with Fulham. But I agree with you, David. I think it matters on what formation Jokanovic plays in certain situations. But I think George could be a really a huge surprise because I see him as having a tremendous amount of talent. And we'll see if he gets a chance this season. He's been playing with the under-21s. But George is really my surprise impact player. But a third would be our friend Mike Gregg's, one of his favorite young players. That would be Jack Rimmer coming back from injury. So Jack Rimmer could have an impact as well. Those are my three, David.
Yeah, I don't see Jack getting as much chance at the moment because Fredericks has shown that he can actually do a good job at right back.
That's right, he has.
Even as a right back, he's been more than adequate as a full back, and obviously offers so much more going forward. And if you're going to be playing Tom Kearney in a 4-4-2, then you've got to have Fredericks at right back, really, because it's the only way to get any width on that team, you know, on that side. I'm not sure what's happened to Jazz Richards. I assume he's injured, but obviously I'm hoping he's not in a way. He's obviously, in a nice way, I'm hoping he's not injured, but also because I don't rate him, as you know. But
I do know, Dave.
As we've seen with, you know, more than one coach, they obviously do rate him for whatever reason. And so I think, you know, at the moment, Grimmer was his third choice behind those two. So I don't see Jack getting much of a chance at the moment unless we have an injury or two.
Okay. Well, you could be right, David. You know, it's interesting. I think Jack has potential as well, but I guess you could say this has more to do with how well Ryan Fredericks has played recently, and if he continues to play that way, he should be. And I agree with you. He should be your first choice at fullback, and also if he goes 3-5-2 wingback. I agree with you there. All right, David, let's now play the interview done yesterday with the new Fulham head coach, Slavisa Jokanovic. Again, thank you, Sam Green, for sending this to me so I could play during the show. You might have watched it on the Fulham website, but I have the audio version of it, so I thought I'd play it. We could talk about it briefly and then go into our preview of Sheffield Wednesday. Sound good, David?
That's great, yeah.
All right. Without further ado, here is Slavisa Jokanovic.
Hello.
Guys, if you'd like to take a few pictures before we start.
I am very excited. I believe it's a great chance for me. Have chance working in one historical club like Fulham. I believe I'm gonna have exciting time front of me. It's my job. It's very clear, and it's people expect improve my team. Try push this team for fighting for more important target. And generally, I am ready.
Slavisa, welcome to Fulham. You arrived yesterday afternoon and had chance to watch the game last night with the fantastic result. What did you think of the performance, and what did you think of the team?
First of all, thank you so much. I am very happy because I have chance working in this big club. And I expect I'm gonna be successful with my team, and I expect I'm gonna push the team for lift this situation and improve themselves. Generally, yesterday is great day for Fulham. it's many positive and many negative things happen during the game, and our obligation is to try push this level up and try improve ourselves and try play better football than what we played yesterday night.
You're going to be happy working with Stuart Gray. I know you're bringing Herrera and Escobar with you from Israel.
Listen, it's Stuart. First of all, is great man. He's great manager too. He try give me all the information I need help for him and for all the people around me. And expect in the future we're gonna collaborate still better, because we are both here because it's interest of Fulham, and our interest is improve this project what is in our hands. I come here with Alberto Escobar. We arrived yesterday, and my first assistant gonna arrive in next Saturday after our Sheffield Wednesday game. I believe we can working all together, and we can make quality job.
Fulham have been without a manager for 7 weeks now. How long have you been talking to Mr. Khan and to Mike Rigg about taking the position here? And what was it that excited you about the project?
We are talking a few weeks. We start talking where Fulham call Maccabi for ask them for permission for a spoke with me. It's a long process not especially easy, but this is part of the football. And the end, we find happy end. I am here. I expect I can make a great performance and make important things for ourselves and for our supporters. It's a project of the club. It's very clear. It's we in the future want to be up, and we want to back to Premier League. What is important for us is thinking about next step. Next step is Sheffield Wednesday game.
Was one of the discussions for joining the club to have some funds made available to perhaps bring a new player?
It's our obligation is try and improve ourselves, and our obligation is try and make some step in this transfer window. I am still not here a full day. I am 20 hours here. I am talking with people around me. 100% we're going to try find some loan player, because we cannot sign any new player for financial fair play sanction or because impossible for us. But we need to try find solution. I am here for find solution in the field, and exist people who is here for find solution in the office. I am here for collaborate in the both side. I am sure we're gonna try make moves. I am sure we're gonna bring new people who can help us.
You're still without a full training session with all of the squad. How much do you know about the individuals that Fulham has at your disposal to get that team capable of climbing the table?
Generally, I need more information. This is very clear. I start make training in the field, gonna be more easier. And in the football, all the managers ask for the time. Unfortunately, time don't exist in this situation, and we need make some express job. And with the time, gonna be more easier for me, gonna be far easier for the players too. But we need living this real life, and generally they are Fulham Football Club players, and they need be in level of this club, improve themselves, play football with more passion, with more stronger, with winner mentality. And in this way, we push everything in the field. Everything is possible.
Welcome to Fulham, and we wish you luck.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done yesterday with Slavisa Jokanović, the new Fulham head coach, by Sauerbrook. So you also heard part of the press conference that he had yesterday. And, you know, again, just to keep this in mind, when we were playing this audio clip, at the time he had not trained with the team. This is on Wednesday, so it is Thursday now, so keep that in mind when they're talking about he hasn't had a chance to train yet, because I believe he already is in the middle of that, I would imagine, today, which is Thursday when we're recording this. All right, David, what did you make of the interview with Slavisa Jokanović?
Well, you know me, I can't listen to any of these things without having a bit of the old David cynicism there, and I was wondering how much of a loaded question was it that they had to make a point of saying that we've been doing this for weeks, we've been discussing this for weeks, you know, to make it look like, you know, this was their plan all along. And I don't know, maybe it was their plan all along, maybe he was their main target, but I think, you know, we saw the Steve Clark situation and other people, and I think that was a bit real, so I'm not sure if he was their number one target originally, but certainly I think some of it was a little bit of trying to save face from Fulham's point of view, because I think they realised that the communication and messages sent out by the club haven't been very positive in the last few weeks as regarding, you know, the organisation and getting a new manager, a new coach. That, you know, I think it's been pretty poor, and we all realise that. But, you know, I think they wanted to save a bit of face. But otherwise, you know, it's pretty positive stuff. You know, it's quite a coup, really, you know, to get someone of his potential. Still, you know, the situation we're in, you know, look at other teams in the league who have lost managers and who they've got in. You know, Leeds lost their manager and they got Steve Evans, you know. I mean,
that's right.
The whatever you called him before he was, I can't remember now, the Michelin man or the someone puff boy pizza man.
Steve Puff Marshmallow Man.
Yeah. I mean, so let's look at those side by side for a minute. You know, Leeds have got Steve Evans and we've got this chap, and I think you'd say that we are clearly the winners in terms of caliber, wouldn't you? So I think it's a big draw, really, for Fulham. You know, not perhaps for where we feel we should be, but, you know, in the table doesn't lie where we really are situation. To get someone in from a Champions League club or a club that's been in the Champions League to do that, I think it's pretty good. So, you know, I'm excited about this, and certainly for me, it's potentially going to be worth the wait. I mean, you know, the wait was pretty awful. We know it's been dire. We've just been treading water, and not even treading water very well. We've been slowly drowning. But potentially, this could be great. You know, he's someone who he's obviously he's a tactician and a student of the game. He's not, you know,
that's right.
They say an old school man. He's someone who studies things, and he's an intelligent man. This is the feeling I get, and he has his people around him also who are students of the game, and I think they use a lot of tactics and science and knowledge and things and research to try and achieve the goals. And obviously he did a great job with Watford, and it's quite surprising, really, that and I don't know actually what the story is there, but why he didn't stay on, you know, to sort of get the fruits from his labours by staying with him in the Premier League. But he did it for Watford, and I think you could probably say on a, you know, we're on a fairly even keel with someone like Watford. They're not a large supported club. They do have obviously money. I suppose they have had money behind them in the past, but I don't think they're any better than we are, really, in that respect. I think potentially we have the chance to be a bigger club than Watford, a better supported club perhaps, and a richer club than Watford. So, therefore, he he's done it for them. He can do it for us, I think. And, I'm very excited about this. I really am. I mean, I'm being positive for a change.
Wow.
And let's hope we don't fall flat on our face. But he certainly, you know, at this minute, I'm prepared to stick my neck on the line and say it was worth the wait to get him.
Okay. Wow, David, that's, you know, again, you are being very positive. I'm very positive about this, too, and I'm glad that you talked about him being a tactician. Everything that I've read, listened to, you know, again, had an interview earlier, that's what this guy is about. You know, again, I was told that while to get into the group stage, you know, again, this is him out coaching the other coaches in the Champions League to get to the group stage. I mean, again, this is someone that really studies the game. This is what Fulham needs. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do. And I've been told that, again, he has played the 3-5-2, but he's not married to any system. He's going to match that up with who he plays and of course, the talent that he has. So it'll be interesting to see how this all works out. But if I remember correctly, under Watford, he did play that system a decent amount. And, you know, that's what I want to see. But I also want to see someone that is going to play the chess match against the other manager. And sounds like we got that guy. And I do think that this is quite a coup. I agree with you. And what's interesting, and I'm glad that you brought this up, because he's also bringing two of his guys with him. One of them already tweeted out that that's with him already at Motspur Park. Alberto Escobar tweeted this out, and I couldn't believe that. It's a picture of him again. It looks like he's looking at video, and it just says he's very surprised by many followers within days. Thanks. Hard day's work. Good night tomorrow. 1st, 8th in Motspur Park. So, again, he's already got his work in. You know, he's already prepared. This is one of his assistants. So I'm excited by this, David, and it sounds like you are as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I followed this chap as well when, you know, several others followed him, because I'm interested to see what he's got to say as well. So it's good he's surprised by that. And obviously Djukanovic, this is the kind of the $64 million question. Will Djukanovic stay on Twitter, though? Because I can imagine he's going to get a lot of tweets from people. And
I'm sure.
And not all of them will be polite, I would imagine. So it's not from me, obviously, of course. I wouldn't advocate that. But I would be tempted to sort of say to him, try 3-5-2 if he doesn't. I'm just excited by this anyway.
Okay, very good, Dave. Listen, we only have about 7.5 minutes left, so I'm going to quickly just give you some information about Sheffield Wednesday to get us ready for the match. Sheffield, again, this is from whoscored.com. Sheffield Wednesday, so far this season, have 9 wins, 9 draws, 6 losses. They're currently 7th in the table. They've scored 35. They've only given up 28. They are on a +7 goal differential, and they're on 36 points. Fulham are currently 18th. We have 6 wins, 9 draws, 9 losses. We have scored 40. We've given up 42. We are on -2 goal differential and on 27 points. Players to watch, again, this is according to the highest-rated players on whoscored.com, would be attacking midfielder Fernando Forestieri. Tom Leeds is a center back. I believe he is injured at this point. I'm not sure if he will be available for this match. And midfielder Barry Bannon, their leading goal scorer is Fernando Forestieri with 10 goals. Their strengths, this is, again, according to whoscored.com, finishing scoring chances, creating chances using through balls, coming back from losing positions, stealing the ball from the opposition. Their weaknesses, aerial duels, avoiding individual errors, defending set pieces, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas. Their style is rotating first 11. They're aggressive and play the offside trap. All right, David, that just gives you a little bit of background on Sheffield Wednesday. We only have 6 minutes left, so let's just do this quickly. Who are your key players for Fulham on Saturday?
I think we're going to go back to the strikers again, really. If they can get the goals, we can win the game. We need to get our noses in front, and we need to stay there, really. Saying that, of course, when we played Sheffield Wednesday, our defending of crosses and set pieces was abysmal.
Horrible.
You know, and Forestieri is like, you know, 5'7" or something, pretty short. He ended up scoring from crosses and things. That was terrible marking, wasn't it? So
crazy, bad.
Yeah, it was madness. So obviously, yeah, we need to be aware of that. So our defence need to be better drilled than they have been. But certainly, I think, you know, I think it's the strikers, really. Ross McCormack, he's on a bit of a roll. He's going to be my main man to try and, you know, unlock them and, you know, either score himself or create goals for others.
Okay, very good there, David. Very good. All right. David, what do Fulham need to do to win this match? Before you share your thoughts, I'm going to just share mine real quick. You already mentioned them. It's defending set pieces and crosses. They need to do that. They need to be very solid defensively. But, again, when I went back and watched video, you will see many crosses, set pieces. They're very dangerous on set pieces. So for me, David, it really is about the defending, because I know we can score. I think we just need to be able to defend stoutly against crosses and set pieces.
No, certainly. I mean, it's, you know, it's a twofold thing. You know, if we can attack and be coherent and keep the ball on the deck, I think, not high balls, but we keep the ball on the deck, attack, they can't get up here and hurt us. We need to keep the ball away from our goal, basically. So,
okay.
You know, it's as much on our attackers as it is on our defense.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, we only have a little less than 4 minutes. Listen, it's difficult for you to really predict what Jokanović is going to do with the starting 11. Do you just want to quickly just share your thoughts on the starting 11 and what you want to see?
Well, you know, I love the 3-5-2, and I want to see the 3-5-2. But,
okay.
But then, you know, if you come into this match and you've just won 4-1 at home, you know, do you start making changes or do you stick with what you had last time? And, you know, you'd be sending for the man in the white coat, really, if you start making changes again, because, you know, you've just done the thing. So I think he's got to show faith in the 11 who started against Rotherham, assuming they're all fit and not tired or anything like that. Because, yeah, people talk about Scott Parker can't play twice a week. I don't know. But assuming the 11 are all fit, I think you've got to put your faith in them and go back to them, really, and start with them, assuming there's no injuries. Because they did the job for you. They did the job on Tuesday, so give them the chance on Saturday. I think it's too early in his reign at the moment to make wholesale changes.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, let's go to predictions. I'm going to start with the College Talk Facebook page. We only have a couple because I just put it up late. Stephen O'Keefe is predicting a 2-2 draw, but hoping for a win. Chris Bob, back to positivity, 2-0 to Fulham. And then, David, I also have on the Cottage Talk Twitter page, I also have some predictions there. So just bear with me as I go to the Cottage Talk Twitter page, because I put up a poll, and again, I put it up kind of late, but we have 111 votes. Loss, 10%. Draw, 23%. David, win, 67%, and that's out of 111 votes. That's pretty good. All right, David, we got 2 minutes left. What is your prediction for Saturday? I'm really curious.
I think they're a good side, and I think it's a bit early for Jokanović. So I think a draw is the most likely option at the moment, really. Not that it's what we want. We want to win, obviously, but I think that there's still work to be done there. So, and I think, you know, they're good enough. So something like a 2-2 draw for me.
2-2 draw. Okay, so you're going with a 2-2 draw. All right, David, you know I am Captain Positivity. I'm going with a 3-1 victory for Fulham, and I am going to go with Colley Woodrow, because I think Colley Woodrow is going to play. I'm going to say he's going to score 2 and 1 from Ross McCormack, similar to the last match. I'm going to say we win 3-1, my friend.
Well, I hope you're right.
All right. All right, David, we only have about a minute left before we go. I just want to say Happy New Year one more time to everyone. Thank you, as always, for listening. Major thank you to you, David, and all my co-hosts. It's been a tough year for Fulham Football Club, but I've enjoyed every minute of doing Cottage Talk with you and everyone. And thank you, everyone, for listening. One last time, Happy New Year to everyone.
Yep.
David, real Thanks. Quick, any last thoughts?
Yeah, it's been a tough year for me as well as Fulham, obviously, and I want to thank everyone for their support and for listening over the last year and for all their comments and stuff. And let's hope everyone out there has a really great, happy new year. And see you in 2016.
Okay, fantastic. Great job today, David. For David Holley, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David.
Cheers, Russ.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Joe.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us, phony Beatlemania. Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can tell you that GEICO could save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not go straight to the source?
Hey, Harry's Money here. And the day Harry went to GEICO.com and switched his car insurance was the day I got to hang around. Finally, boys bonding, bada bing, bada boom. No wonder GEICO has 97% customer satisfaction. Personally, I give him 100, but that's just my 2 cents. That was funny.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Or more on car insurance.